Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Sounds Good Radio. I'm your host, Shriver.
And it's Big Nick.
Hey, we're back for another week to hang out with you guys, to do a little chit-chat, to do a little catch-up. It has been a long day.
Yes.
Here in the Sounds Good house, okay? We have gone to the grocery store, come back from the grocery store, drank a little coffee, went to Neek's house, put together a desk because my girl is going back to school, and I could not be more proud of you. I know it has been a long time coming, a long journey, and I couldn't be more excited for you.
Thank you.
If there's a will, there's a way.
Pray for me all.
And this girl, she's been grinding it out. So I'm excited to see this come to fruition for you. So this week we are just gonna do a little chit chat,
okay?
Little Q&A. We got some segments. We got some snacks. So we will just dive right into it with some trending topics that are going on in the world right now. Starting with the Cowboy Carter tour.
Oh, is that what that's called? I thought it was the Blue Ivy tour because I'm locked in. Every clip that my niece is getting down, I'm locked and loaded. I don't care if I've seen it. Every single angle that you're giving it to me, I'm going to watch it in full and I'm going to dance along with her.
I wanted to get your opinion on that because she is a huge Beyonce stan, part of the Beehive. So I wanted to get kind of your input on how you feel about Beyonce introducing her daughter to the world of showmanship and how much she has grown from act one to act two.
I think it's just a beautiful thing. I think it is a choice to put your kid on this huge worldwide stage. And it was pretty gutsy and it was brave because since Blue Ivy's conception, there's always been this huge discussion about Blue Ivy. Of course, she was ridiculed when she was a baby. Everybody wanted to talk about her and what she looked like and her hair and all that to Beyonce. And then at that point, we drew back. We weren't even able to see Blue anymore. Beyonce was like, oh, you talking shit about my baby? You'll never see him again. You might get a little glimpse, a little paparazzi type shit, but you're not going to get full access to her, being on tour. And of course, from the beginning on Renaissance, she was kind of stiff. She was trying to get it together. And I saw on the Renaissance behind the scenes, Matthew Knowles, her grandfather, was like, she went online. Well, one of her friends went online and saw what people were saying about her first performance at the Renaissance. And that, instead of that defeating Blue, it pushed her to go harder, and she went harder and practiced more. And you can see the evolution from the beginning of Renaissance to the end of Renaissance to now Cowboy Carter, where she's got her own dance break. She's got several little dance breaks. I said, come on, Miss Blue, let's go, niece. I live, and I love it for her. I'm happy for her. I'm even more tickled at Rumi getting her little piece of her little piece. Miss Rumi. And I think it's beautiful. It seems like the kids are enjoying themselves.
Oh, no, yeah.
As long as it's not like any like forced and like they look miserable and they're just like, oh, brother. But like just seeing that they are happy to be there and they're taking it seriously. I love that. And I love seeing an old powerhouse family, a family of all musicians, Jackson 5, shall I say. I love a family of multi-talented, multi-faceted, and I love it. I do kind of want to see maybe a Blue Ivy dancing to maybe one of her daddy's features on her mom's song.
Okay.
And I really do know, because I'm like, come on, eat it up to your daddy, boo boo boo.
Right.
Yes, she's Beyonce's baby, but she's also Jay's as well. But I think it's cute. I'm very, very proud of her. And like I said, any clip that's coming across my desk, if it's Blue Ivy or it's Rumi, I'm full stop and you've got my
ticket. Yeah. I think it was really cute to see the behind the scenes footage of them rehearsing with Blue and Rumi both on the stage. And so from that point, from a child's eye, you're playing, you're singing, whatever, because you don't have that audience in front of you. To me, you could see the moment Rumi realized what they were doing. And she was like, oh, wait a minute. Yes. Like, and just the excitement and the pure joy of a child.
Yes,
like,
so beautiful. Yeah. I just love it.
Adorable.
I saw on the second night when Beyonce was kind of giving her mom props for her new book, Matriarch by Tina Knowles. And she said, oh, the fans are happy.
I think it's absolutely adorable. But as cute as it has been, there was some controversy on the opening night with the VIP ticket holders, the floor seats. Basically, from what I've seen is night one is kind of where the mishaps happen, where they figure out the kinks. Mm-hmm. And apparently the VIP pits were pulled back too far from the stage. There was issues with organizing, with it being fair, first come, first serve. Because apparently for an $1,800 ticket, you're standing. You don't have a seat. It's first come, first serve. So people were lining up at, 4 o'clock in the morning and standing there. I could not imagine paying that kind of money and still having to show up 12 hours before a show.
Right. Some age knees. I got to sit down. So, the way my feet and my ankles are set up, I got to sit. Right. I need a breather.
And I mean, we went to Chris Brown for less than that. Mm-hmm. We were second row with a seat, a completely unobstructed view.
Yes.
So to each his own.
To sit down and catch a breather.
There was
a seat right
behind her. Right, right. And I also thought it was strange because she has a ton of shows. But if I counted correctly, the first 5 shows are all in LA. And I don't quite understand that. Why have 5 concerts? Those 4 of those, you could have did cities elsewhere.
Maybe she's just going to get the West Coast out of the way.
I am.
I also feel like maybe she's ironing out the kinks, like you said.
Yeah, could be.
I feel like this tour came a little fast.
Yes.
I feel like usually we have more time in between tours when it comes to Beyonce. And I feel like, I mean, I guess with everything that's going on with the Cowboy Carter, that you have to kind of like ride that wave.
Yeah.
But I feel like just based off of the issues that are coming up here, and even I think last night I saw something, they were like, people were missing cues, then the dancers,
the horseshoe,
didn't have their right. Yeah,
the flying horseshoe
in Zoom mode. Like, I feel like maybe if they had maybe an extra week to like kind of get everything together,
right,
and kind of like get her standing, and like there's just like picture frame thing and she has to be like right in the middle of it, and like she was kind of nervous, so she's trying to like be with it but still kind of being like, please don't knock me across my face with this thing.
So the robotic
I
arms
feel like there's just a little bit that we could have waited for, but knowing Beyonce and seeing all of her behind the scenes works on all of her tours that she has done, it will be corrected soon.
Yeah.
Beyonce has tapped into the internet. She's not missing anything. She's tapped into all critique. She does not play that. So it will be ironed out by 9/3.
Yeah, I agree. So that's all we have for our current trending topics.
Okay.
The next thing we're going to cover is some dating disasters. Okay. So we're going to answer some questions and give you our opinion on what it's like dating as women in their 30s.
I haven't dated in a long time, but I'll
say pretty much all these stories were from like 10 years ago.
It's a little rusty. I don't know what the new kids are doing, but
okay. So, first question, what is the worst date you've ever been on? Would you like to go first, or do you want me to go first?
What did I say?
I'm gonna hand her the iPad.
Yes, okay.
Oh, brother.
So, this is really probably one of the most cringy things, and I don't even know if I want to share this on the internet, but here I am. A group of my friends, we went out to eat. It was like a double date type of situation, triple date, you know, just the couples were going out to eat, and I had an ex at this time. We were together and it was toxic anyways, and we were going to go to PF Chang's. I had never been to PF Chang's before, but I was like, okay, down. I like little Chinese food. You know, you can't get wrong. He insisted on us going. It was going to be a couples trip. Okay, cool. Whatever. Well, let's go, babe. Went to PF Chang's, ate, had a good, cute little wonderful time, and it gets time to check out. And then he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and I'm like, excuse me? He pulls out his card, and the card is declined. Everybody else has paid. His card is declined, and now we're sitting there looking at each other in front of all of my friends and their boyfriends. Like, the card is declined. I don't have any money. Obviously, he doesn't have any money. I literally have to go out in the parking lot, call my granddaddy, and ask him to send me some money, like, immediately so I can pay so we can leave. So that I should have broke up with him then, but like an idiot.
I'm trying to place when or who this was, and I honestly can't, but that.
I probably never shared it because it's embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Not had to call granddaddy.
I would never go anywhere again unless I got money.
Did you tell granddaddy what the money was for?
I probably did. And like granddaddy probably, he was already ready to kill him. We were toxic, toxic, toxic. So granddaddy hated him.
All right. For me, my worst date, I think it was a dating app day, which I'm already, those are too tough to handle anyway. and this was years ago. We went out, I think I met him at a brewery, which I don't like beer. So that was red flag number one. Met him there. But the good thing was when I got there, he was more attractive in person. Right. I was like, oh, okay, you're not, that your pictures aren't even doing you justice, mm-hmm. right? Conversation was good. It was cool. And he was like, do you want to go, you know, carry it on to the next place or whatever? I was like, sure. I think I had like half a beer because like I said,
not a beer, drinker.
So we moseyed on down, to a place that's like, has a bunch of bars. It's all walkable. There's no, it's all foot traffic, okay. right? So we're on one side of the square walking to the other.
Okay.
And the whole time he just kept saying how he needed to use the restroom. And I'm like, well, we're about 5 feet away from the entrance. We'll be there in just a minute, you know. Next thing I know, he's beelining it in the other direction. And I had, for a moment, I was like, oh, I'm getting ghosted in the middle of a date. Like, uh-huh. what's going on? And he just mumbles like, I got to use the bathroom. And I'm just looking and okay. He walks across the square, goes into some random restaurant, and uses the bathroom. And at this point, my spotty senses are going
did
off.
Did shit?
I don't know, but you couldn't have lasted 15 more steps to where we were headed.
Right.
So I'm awkwardly standing there, twiddling my thumbs. He comes back out. I'm like, okay.
All right.
We go to the next bar. We go up, get a drink. He gets me a drink. Great. We go sit down to where the live music was. We're not even sitting there for 5 minutes. And he leans over to me and he says, do you want to go back to your place? I said, no, I'm good right here. He's like, okay. So at this point, done.
Okay.
I'm done. I see what your intention is. I'm good on that. We're just going to stomach through the rest of this. Okay. 5 minutes pass by. He asks me again.
And I was like, he's the Viagra. He's
growing. honest to God, I was like, is he on ecstasy? Because that would explain like the bathroom urgency or.
No, he popped one in the bathroom and he was like, all right, now I'm ready. He needs 15 minutes.
Right. So it's not over.
Oh.
So at that point, when he asked a second time, I was like, no, I'm good. You know what? I'm just going to take you back to your car. So we get back to my car, and I'm driving him to his vehicle. Uh-huh. He falls asleep in my passenger seat. After maybe one or two beers and a mixed drink.
Okay.
And I'm just driving thinking, what the hell? This is no.
Right.
No. Drop him off. I never heard from him again. I think he might have texted me the next day, and I was like, look, I'm not feeling it. This is kind of strange.
Wake up when you pulled up, or did you have to be like...
I think he woke up. At that point, I was disassociating. It was,
Is an upper, so he would have been no problem.
He said that he was pre-gaming the day with some whiskey or something. I don't know. But I was turned off from dating for a while after perk. That.
He was trying to get ready for you, and that perk put him down.
Perk put him down. Perk put him down.
Laid him down.
So that's my dating disaster.
That's hilarious.
Luckily, I haven't had too many simply because I haven't gone on that many dates in my life.
I mean, for me, dates are usually dinner, a movie,
yeah.
and then, back to the whammy shabammy. So.
The whammy shabammy. I'm not a wham bam, thank you ma'am kind of gal. You got to put in a little bit more effort mm-hmm. than first date. Absolutely well, not.
Drop me off. I mean, not whammy shabammy.
Right. Okay, so... Staying on the topic of dating disasters, dating in general, what are some of your turn-ons and turn-offs? And this doesn't have to be actually sexual, but things that attract you to a man versus things that you don't like.
The first thing is if you smell good.
Mm-hmm.
I like nice tea.
Mm-hmm.
A turn-off is icky nails, dirty fingernails.
Yes.
I pay attention to that in shoes. If your shoes... Or not.
Crusty.
Busted, dusty,
yeah.
If they're just... First thing, I'm going for your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going for your shoes. Fingernails first. But I like a well-kept man. I like a man that actually puts forth some effort. It's something about knowing that I'm seeing a crease in a man's pants just really does something. Like, oh, you iron them?
Oh, you ironed them?
Oh, you put a little starch in them? Yeah. You're the type of man I want. You get to it. I like you.
Yeah. I of course, I appreciate if a man is well put together and has a good fashion sense, but personally, I could care less about clothes. Mm-hmm. If you do that, cool, great. Okay. I'm a look at it.
Do you look put together when you
correct?
Whatever
yeah.
It is,
do you wear clothes that are appropriate for your body type? Because that's another these skinny jeans, y'all.
Please.
Oh, brother.
Just give me a straight leg.
A boot cut. I too look at hands. Obviously I want your nails to be clean, cut back, but I have a particular type of hand that I like on a man. I don't like short, stubby fingers. I like a good, strong hand, but soft. Okay. I don't want you to be callous. Unless you're a working man.
I was gonna say, I like a little callous because that means you're working.
If you're a working man, hey, if you're a blue collar boy.
Bring that thing to mama.
obviously smell good, good teeth. What else did I have down?
Look at my eyes for me too. It's something I don't know.
Maybe eye contact.
Something about eye contact. Like, yeah. I think you can just tell.
I think it's very sexy when a man can maintain eye contact with a woman because as women we are known for if I'm into you, I'm locking in.
Yeah. I'm really not an eye contact girl. I try to avoid it. I really don't like when people are looking at me. I feel like eyes are like the windows to the soul. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I'm looking into your eyes, it is intentionally. So, like, if, like, people who, like, are, like, in casual conversation looking deep in your eyes, that I literally will literally be looking at the floor. I'll be like, what about it? Or looking, like, at your forehead or your ponytail. I will look. Most places I look honestly, the first place I'm going is your teeth.
Yeah.
My eyes will fixate on your teeth. So usually I fixate there, but usually I try to go right here or kind of like to their ear. Mm-hmm. So it kind of looks like I'm still looking at them, but my eyes are kind of, it's not like the direct beams into my soul. It's just kind of little shit, little catty corner.
I just thought of another embarrassing date moment. Dating app. he was a cool guy. We had good conversation. It was like one of those secondhand embarrassment moments. He was talking to me, and as he was talking, a little bit of spit flew out of his mouth and like landed right on my cheek. And like me, I hate for anybody to feel like embarrassed or like
what did you do?
I literally just, I was like, it's cool. He was like, oh, I'm so, you know, he apologized, obviously. We just kept the conversation rolling. Okay. I was like, let's not dwell on this.
Well, as a juicy mouth girl, because what is it called? Gleek? When you.
Yeah.
I literally slopped on the floor like, I literally drooled. So, I understand. And sometimes you just got to roll the punches. Like, you should be happy that my saliva's on you.
Yeah. It wasn't, it was obviously not. I just felt so bad. I was like, oh, God, he's probably so embarrassed right now. But I was like, it's cool. Okay.
I don't like clingy.
Okay. Explain clingy. At the beginning?
Okay. Just at all, period.
Okay.
Like, I like, it's already established. I like you. You like me. I don't like to have to, like, keep reinforcing that. Yes, I like you. Like, I'm texting you back, ain't I? Mm-hmm. I'm answering the phone. Like, we're on a date. Like, why do I have to keep telling you I like you? Yes! I wouldn't be wasting my time. I would not be putting forth this effort. So, like, stop. I don't want to keep reassuring you. I understand some people's love language is words of affirmation. And I understand that. But if I said I like you, I meant it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying it just to say it.
Yeah.
These men are way too easy for me to lie about liking them. I can literally say whatever and they'll do whatever anyways.
Yeah.
So there's no need to lie. Yeah. What are you going to do, whoop me? So if I said I like you, please don't question it again. Especially, like, if you're This is too.
She's having flashbacks.
Like,
an ick for me is bad table manners.
Okay, like how?
Obviously, if you're rude to wait staff, that kind of thing. But mainly, if you don't know how to properly use your silverware. That's a big thing.
Are you
with
like
me.
A dinner knife, steak knife, salad knife type of
guy? Not necessarily. Because, I mean, most places you go, you got a fork, a knife, and a spoon.
Yeah.
we're not going to fine dining where you have five courses. I'm just saying how you hold your silverware,
like a dagger, like a knife.
I hate when people hold it like, oh my God.
You barbarian. You freaking nomad.
I think the way I was raised, my mom taught me those. I mean, and it's a different time. Like, I get that. Table manners aren't as well-versed anymore.
Well, that's because people don't eat at dinner tables anymore.
True, true. Also, like, being on your phone during the day.
I hate that.
For me, I try my best. Like, I keep my phone. Yeah. Now, if we're together, then that's different. Well,
when I'm on, like, if I'm, like, even, like, except I can't use this as an example, but, like, if I'm with, like, a date or we're hanging out, I intentionally put my phone up. Some people think that that is, like, weird or, like, suspicious, but I'm, like, I'm giving my undivided attention.
Right.
So I would prefer, like, don't be on, like, what's in your phone? Like, are you, is this not enough of a view for you? Like, I'm just not understanding.
Yeah.
Like,
again, if we've been together for however long, that's cool. But, like, I think first impressions, first date, when you're still getting to know somebody, I think it's just be intentional with your time and with your attention. Okay, so those were some of our turn-ons and turn-offs. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a juicy, loaded question. What is your stance on dating men with kids? If you don't know, if you're just now tuning in, Neek and I are both childless by choice. And we have both had experience with dating men with children. So I'll let you answer first.
I prefer not. And it's solely and selfishly because I want all of the attention on me. I don't want to share the attention with anybody else. We love your sweet little babe and we love that. And I love that you want to be an active father and all that, but what about me?
Yeah.
And if that makes me toxic and weird and all of that, then that's just what it is. What about me?
Yeah.
It's, and maybe that's what my sign for, you don't need to be with a man with kids. But I also, we're 30, mid-30. We're in the 30s to mid-30s range.
Yeah.
So it is very hard to find a man that doesn't already have kids.
Yeah.
At this point, they're 2 and up. You're lucky to get one with one.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's not a hard no, but I would prefer not to.
For me, I've dated men with kids in the past. Mm-hmm. I've dated men that did not have kids. And like you said, I've tried it and it was fine at the time, but there's a lot of things that play into it is if you are active in that child's life, if they know who you are, your dad's girlfriend, whatever, you create a bond with these kids and that can be hard to walk away from.
Yes.
I have experienced 100%. That myself. Mm-hmm. And I have been in situations where I haven't met the kids and that could put a strain on it as well. So I feel like moving forward in my dating life or lack thereof, I think I'm going to try to focus on men that don't have kids.
Okay.
Simply because just like you said, I want all the attention and I'm not saying it's me.
I am.
But, I know that I will never be number one in your life.
Yes, that's the one.
And as it should be, your children should come first. But I, with my own free will and choice, I can choose to either be with somebody that I know I'm number 2, 3, 4 that's in line, or I can choose to be with somebody that we both have a clean slate.
Yes.
And
we're
can come
aligned in making each other our number one.
Absolutely. So yeah, we'll see. The older we get, the harder it is to find men that don't have kids or that also don't want to have kids.
Yes.
That's been a big thing for me is where are the men at that also don't want children? Because I feel like it's more of a, it's looked at from a female perspective of the female has chosen she doesn't want kids. There's a huge millennial movement going on right now where a lot of us women are realizing this isn't really the plan I wanted for myself. So I'm curious to know, are there also men out there of the like mind?
I think it's all it's been ingrained into men that you're supposed to procreate. The role of a man is to plant his seed and all of that nature. So I don't know. I'll be
carry his bloodline
and carry my name, my lineage, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
That I've never actually thought of that.
Yeah. If you're a man out there that's listening and you do have kids and you have something you want to weigh in, please leave us a comment. We'd love to know. Or if you're a man that's listening and you're like, no, I don't want kids either. Do you find it hard to find women that are on the same page? Because a lot of women do. They're like, oh, my clock's ticking. I'm ready to have kids. And So yeah, dating is just, there's so many avenues and it's difficult. Okay, next question. This was something I just kind of randomly thought about thinking of
also,
my...
Also, I just... Go ahead. 1 second. It's also very key if you're going to be a man that I'm dating and you have kids, we don't do deadbeats. Like, that is a character flaw to me.
Flaw.
So if you're not active and present, and I'm not talking about just like a FaceTime parent or an Instagram parent. If you're not active in your kid's life, you can really just...
I've got nothing for you.
So yeah.
Yeah. I respect men that are full time parents because that's what you are. Yes. It's not part time, it's not half time, it's not joint. You're that child's parent. So respect it, don't want to be a part of it.
Yes, correct.
So next question is, do you take pictures with your significant other? So if you're in a relationship, are you a picture taking couple or are you not?
I am not a picture taker, period.
Yeah.
I don't really like pictures. I'll take it if you want me to. But I'm not really a picture taker.
Because I feel like there are those couples that, I mean, they're taking pictures at every turn.
Yeah.
Doing this, doing that, posting on social media. Great. Love that. For me, I haven't been in a relationship where we take a lot of pictures. Yeah. No, I don't feel like there's really any reason for it. And that's not to say that I don't want to. I'd love to.
Yeah.
I've been in a relationship where I've taken one picture with the guy. I've been in a relationship where we've had a couple, maybe five, six, I don't know. And most of them were like more in group settings, holidays, stuff like that. But yeah, I've never been in a relationship where a man, or even like, have you had a man take a picture of you? Like candid pictures or, yeah?
Yeah. I've got plenty of birthday posts with just my side roll hanging out or something.
Oh, yeah. The birthday shout out where they pick the worst possible picture of you.
Like I said, my back roll hanging out, the bonnet, my one eyelash, sleep.
To my knowledge, I've never had my picture taken without my knowledge. Like, I don't think a man's ever,
I'm not really a picture taker. I will. I wouldn't turn down a picture, but I'm not going to be like, ooh, let's take a picture. And that's also because when I'm spending time with my person, I'm not in my phone. So the last thing in my mind is take a picture.
Yeah.
Maybe like if you're driving, if I'm being a passenger princess, you
know, right.
Like that, but like not, we're about to pose.
And yeah.
Get the tripod.
I've been in a situation where me and the guy never took a picture, ever took a picture together.
I mean, I kind of feel like, it's partly like a validation thing. Because I feel like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking pictures. I think not when it's just taking pictures, but it's having to post them on social media.
Yeah.
And people feeling like these pictures need to be, like, who are you trying to prove this to?
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to prove this to yourself? Or are you just trying to show everybody, like, hey, this is my boo. I'm in love. Or, like, just, I don't feel that call to social media to post my partner.
Definitely. I'm not a social...
I mean, if I think it's a cute picture and I'm like, oh, okay, we look cute, I'm going to post it. But not to be... I don't know. It's just...
I'm not a social media relationship person because I feel in my younger years, my teenage years, I had my taste of that and I saw how it could go sour when people part ways. This was back when it was sub-tweeting and making little innuendos and one of my followers... I've seen the nasty... and I think it got me into a space where I want to keep my relationships intimate. And I think there's, like you said, posting a picture every now and again for a holiday. Sure. Every single picture you take with somebody, every single detail about your relationship, just keep some intimacy, you know, keep some things to yourself. But I think on the other hand of that, people could argue, well, oh, are you trying to hide something? No, I think you cannot want to post your relationship and not be trying
to. Why do I need to put it on? Why do I need to put it on Facebook or Instagram for you to see it for it to mean that I love my person?
Because there was a time in dating, the past 2,000 years, where you didn't have pictures and you didn't have social media.
When people wish their 1-year-old or 2-year-old or 3-year-old happy birthday on Facebook or social media, they can't read. Do they have their own Facebook account? How are they going to see this birthday post? And the people that get under it, like, happy birthday, baby, da-da-da-da, they can't read. FaceTime. Maybe they'll tell you then. Like, put it on your mom's face. The baby's eyes are still crossed. They can't see your happy birthday post. They can't see your paragraph about how this was the hardest pregnancy ever. You should have just talked to your belly. They had a better chance of hearing it than freaking on Facebook for everybody else to see.
But yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, knees. I love
you. All right. I'm a like the post, and I'm going to happy birthday back, even though I know. Like,
nobody's going to see this.
Yeah. But, yeah. Okay. Okay. So that's all we have for our dating disasters. Do you want to do a little taste good?
What are we eating? I hadn't seen you bring it.
Okay. I got it hidden from you.
I've been eyeing. I'm like, okay. What are we
so
eating?
These are. I have two options also. Okay, so first thing first, did are these pears? No, it's it's peelers. Mm-hmm. So these, I think they went viral on TikTok, but they're these little gummy candies because y'all know we love a gummy. These are mango flavored.
Let's get them opened up now.
Okay, so I'm trying to describe for the people that aren't watching, because I notice, like, we kind of don't talk about stuff, and we need to visually and audibly describe things.
Now audibly describe.
So, you're supposed to, hold on, wait, you're supposed to peel it.
Peel it?
Yeah, like, you can peel the, I don't know, or you can, I pop the whole thing in my mouth, truth
be told. Why am I peeling it?
Okay, cheers.
No.
Well, fuck you, bitch.
Why are we peeling it?
I don't know. That's the thing about it.
I mean,
it says peelable.
Like, peel.
I don't, it's too sticky to me.
Is there a
but
skin on
it? It's fire.
Wait a minute. I think there's a skin.
Bite the top and then peel.
Oh, it's okay. There's an inside.
Right.
Okay.
Ooh, hold on. Wait. It's gushing out. Much.
If I got to use my app, I'm glad I washed my hands before this.
Yeah, it's too sticky.
Okay, so what do I do with this?
The eat outside. It. You eat, everything's edible.
So what do we?
I don't know. That's part of the shtick. It tastes amazing. It tastes just like a mango. Not liking it? I think it's great. So again, they're called peelers. For anybody that's listening, they had banana flavor, but I knew better than to get that for Neek. She hates banana. You not feeling it?
I like the outside.
She's
like,
got her nose turned up.
I like the peel.
Okay.
But then, like, the inside,
A little too gushy. Sticky.
It's the consistency of it. Like,
okay, well, now I'm afraid. If you didn't like that, I don't think you're going to like the next one. Okay, one second. So, the next thing, it is a candy. It's a Mexican candy. I hate my life. I just dropped something. It's a Mexican candy called, I don't know what it's called, but it's from the tamarind fruit. So it's like, think like fig, I know, something like that. If you don't want to try it, you don't
like
have to.
Fig Newton?
No, it's like the inner stuff. I don't know how to describe it, y'all. It's a Mexican candy that's like sweet and not spicy, but like, I don't know how to explain it. I really don't. I love it. You might not like it. So if you're not watching, it comes on a spoon. I got this from the Tienda Hacienda. She's giving a little lick just to try. It's chewy. I'm just going to go in if you're not watching. I love this stuff. I think, watch it not be what I think it is. Mm-hmm. It is. It's chewy. Mm. Yep.
What? Chewy?
Take a little bite out of it. So it's like, ooh, this one's spicy. It's great. I don't know how to explain what it is. I'm going to put up on the screen for those that are watching. Mm-mm. She doesn't like it. I love it. But that's okay. I knew it was a shot in the dark.
It's not bad.
You just got to be prepared for it.
I just haven't got my palate set on that.
You're all right.
It reminds me of something. I ain't hit.
You hit part, honey.
Oh,
you need to do a little readjust. All right, let me wash that down, y'all. Okay, well, that was a bust. That's all right. Oh, her leg's falling asleep. Okay, here we go. So, moving on, I have some more questions. This is just like a little random Q&A. first question being, what is a moment that you will cherish forever? I put down two separate instances because I can't pick one, because it's only fair that I talk about my mama and my daddy. So the first one was years ago. Mom and I drove up to Clingman's Dome, which is the highest point in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. And there's an overlook with a 360 view. We drove up there in the fall when all the colors were changing. All the trees were bright orange and reds and browns. Absolutely beautiful. We drove up there to watch the sunrise. So we're driving. It's a windy mountain road. I'm damn near getting car sick, and I never get car sick. And we finally make it to the top. It's just now starting to be dawn. We wanted to walk up to where the observation tower was. But if you don't know, or if you have forgotten, like we did, that when you're at a higher elevation, it tends to get a little bit colder. So not only were we ill-dressed, we didn't have on snow boots or anything. There was snow on the ground up there. Just a little bit. Mainly ice. Which mom and I completely busted our asses on. And my mom is a little more frail and fragile. And it was one of those, you know, like in the cartoons where it's like, like their feet. I'm trying to catch her to make sure she doesn't break a damn hip. I literally pulled her on top of me and I braced both of our fall. And we were like, all right, we're walking back. Never mind. We'll watch it from the parking lot. Which honestly, the view was just as beautiful. I will insert a little video for the people that are watching. So that was really special. And I really want to do that again. So mama, we got to go again. What is something wrong with my face? What is it? Hey, guess what? I have a mirror over here.
Your chin's shiny.
My chin's shiny? Well, it could be spit at this point. Oh yeah. No, it's lip gloss. Thank you. So, next memory that I will cherish forever. Me and dad, this was last year. Him and his wife, hey Darlene, get this little lakeside cabin. I think they do it about once a year. Up in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee. And I went up there with him to visit for the day because I was off of work. And for one, when we were up there, there was a bunch of hummingbirds flying around and I got to feed hummingbirds out of my hand. Well, out of the feeder that I was holding in my hands. And then dad was like, hey, you want to go up to this waterfall that's up here around the way? I was like, yeah, sure. So we get up. This is on a weekday, like a Tuesday. And again, it's the middle of nowhere. So it's not like this big popular tourist attraction. And no, I will not be telling you where the waterfall is because I'm keeping it a secret. 100% gatekeeping. Sorry, not sorry. So we get up to the waterfall. You kind of had to walk back a ways and it hadn't been raining much. So there wasn't that much of a waterfall, but it was still beautiful. There were some beautiful little tide pools. And as we're standing there, my dad points out that there is a rope climb attached to the trees going up the sides of the waterfall in the woods. And he was like, yeah, you can, you know, people use that rope to help shimmy themselves up to the top. I was like, okay, well, I'm looking at the waterfall. Next thing I know, dad's walking up the rope. And if you know anything about my daddy, once he gets his mind set on something, you know, his mind's made, which honestly, my mom and dad both have instilled that in me. So I was like, well, I've got no choice but to follow him. Cause again, you old geezer, I can't have you falling and breaking a hip. So I'm behind him and he just takes off. He's climbing, looking back at me. You okay? Here, put your foot here, grab here. Da, 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 da. We get up to the top of the waterfall. He's like, if you walk another 100 feet back, there's another waterfall. I said, there's another waterfall. Mind you, we're up here completely secluded, alone, by ourselves. No, there's service. Nobody else up here. So we keep walking, and sure enough, there's another waterfall. And I will insert the video here for everybody that's watching. And what does my daddy do? He climbs up to the top of that waterfall on a slick, wet rock so he could pose directly by the stream of water. And as we're making our way back down, I had one of those moments where I realized, like, this is a core memory that I'm in the midst of. And it was really beautiful to know that, like, I'm going to have that memory forever. So, without getting too choked up, what's your most favorite memory?
The one that first popped to my head was, I know I probably talk about this all the time, but we went to Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've mentioned it or not. Mom and my birthday are 2 days apart. My birthday is the 7th of February and hers is the 9th of February.
Big Aquarius gang.
So we went to the Dominican Republic for my birthday and we had all the excursions and everything. And one of the excursions we did was we had jet skis. I was afraid to drive the jet skis. So I was able to, I decided I was going to ride with my mama. So mama was like, I'll drive it. And I'm like, okay, cool. Mama's on the front. I'm on the back. They're just like, hold on to her. She'll drive. So I'm just like, all right, mama, you know, she's going to keep conservative. Her sweet, precious baby girl's on the back of her. And mom literally guns it. And we are literally just out. So the jet skis go, 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 go. I'm just holding on, just holding and praying. And mom is literally just giggling and laughing. And she literally goes into her Xena warrior princess. Like, and in that moment, I guess for me, it was just kind of like, she's no longer like mom in my eyes. She is just another woman that is on jet skis and having the time of her life. And I was able to see her in a different light of just like having a good time and just being happy. And it was just beautiful. And I loved it. And it's probably one of my favorite things. Just that was literally her in her little warrior cry. I call it her Xena. but that was just pure black woman joy.
Yeah.
And I think I love that.
Yeah. I think they say, I'll get us a tissue. It's like we're all just girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I'm just a girl in the world.
I'm blocking the camera, Joe. I'm sorry. I gotta get us tissues.
And that was probably like one of my favorite things. And of course, I was scared to death, but she had it. That's my mama, and I was just there for support. I was just a supporting actor in this one.
All right, well, it wouldn't be an episode of Sounds Good Radio if we didn't shed a tear or two. But that's okay, because remember, crying is a sign that you're alive.
Yeah.
Okay? And we're making memories, and we're loving them, and we're cherishing them. Mm-hmm. So, let's see what else we got. All right, we've got two more little segments to go, and we will let you go. But don't leave just yet, okay? We got some more things to talk about. I wanted to do the segment, smells good. Okay. I know you didn't bring anything, but if you can think of something, you can bring it up.
I only have literally one signature scent.
Right. As for me, I have got a scent to showcase. Let me do a little switch here. No more of the peelers. All right. One of my favorite perfumes. I hope I haven't talked about this before. If I have, oh well. We're talking about it again. This is Fenty by Rihanna. And this was a Christmas present from my very best friend because she knows that I like, you're good. You look great. just water. Well, it's the shadow side, so you're all right. But this is a beautiful perfume. And honestly, I think you've told me this, that this comes off when you wear it on yourself, powdery.
Yeah.
But you feel like when I wear it, do you smell the powderiness? Mm-hmm. No. And I think that maybe it's just like body chemistry, whatever, but I feel like I can smell a little bit of the powderiness, mm-hmm. but surprisingly, I like it in this. And something that I've been layering with it is dusting powder. Mm-hmm. I'm on dusting powder TikTok. And I got one called Tuscan Honey by a family-owned brand. I found it on Amazon. I'll pop it up on the screen for anybody that wants to delve into the world of dusting. It's freaking great. Yeah. So that's all I have for smells good. You don't have any perfumes you want to shout out? Any new things come in your Scentsy? She's a Scentsy gal.
I did I mention my light blue by...
I don't think you've mentioned Dolce & Gabbana
light blue.
Light
blue by Dolce & Gabbana, and I like Dylan Blue by Versace. Dylan Blue's... that one.
I like Dylan Purple by Versace. But the only reason I haven't bought the full size, I have the airplane bottle, is because I don't like the way the full size bottle looks. Oh, I think it's ugly. Okay. But I plan on getting a decanter because it is one of my favorite scents. All right. Lastly, we got a little Rock Talks. So on today's episode of Rock Talks, we are featuring the Stone Moss Agate. If you're not watching, I'm holding up a softball size sphere with white, gray, green, like a deep emerald green, and a whole bunch of druzy pockets. I will
gold.
A little bit. You see a little bit of gold in there? Some flecks? Yeah, there are some little flecks in there. I think it looks like a little planet Earth or something of the sort. I also have, you want to hold that? I also have a little mini pyramid, not a pyramid, tower. There we go. A little mini tower. Same color scheme. This one just has a little bit more green in it. So moss agate, unlike its name, is not actually an agate at all. Rather, it's chalcedony or chalcedony. Honestly, don't know which one is correct, so we'll say both. With dendritic inclusions of manganese, chrome, and or iron. The impurities within resemble moss and other various patterns, leading one to believe true organic matter is encased inside. So dendritic means, I don't know, think of, it's just like little darker inclusions or spots inside of a crystal. So with the moss agate, most of those dendritic portions are those darker emerald greens, as well as some of the lighter blues, blue, grays, whites. It's, yeah. Moss agate comes in many, many, many different visual appearances. The deep colors and vibrant patterns are simply due to different levels of oxidation within the crystal. These colors are most notably green or brown, but can also be seen as yellow, red, and black. Moss agate has localities all over the world, with the most imported commercialized deposits being in India. In fact, around 75% of all moss agate on the market is directly sourced from India. Okay. The healing properties of this stone are your heart and root chakra. Okay. It is thought to bring you closer to Mother Earth. It offers shells of protection around your own aura and helps you to fully be you. It encourages self-expression and the divine connection to nature that most of our childhood was consumed with. And I thought that was interesting when I read that, because here, like within this past year, I've really wanted to like get back to being just a girl. Get back to doing the things that like 10-year-old me dreamed of, that 10-year-old me would be proud of. Because I think we get caught up in work and the routine and going through the motions, and we forget, like, just live a little. You know, things aren't that serious. We only have one shot at this life. Why not have fun and laugh and do all the things that made you feel like a kid, you know? Moss agate also encourages you to get back to your roots and let your inner child shine through. And the astrological sign most associated with moss agate is Virgo. So any of the Virgos out there, if you're looking for a stone to hold close to your heart.
I love that you say that this is the astrological sign that this is connected to is Virgo.
Oh, why, brother.
Why is it not supposed to be on?
I'm sorry, y'all. Oh, no, we had a phone call. That's okay. They probably didn't hear it. Yes, they did. They hear everything. Okay, well, you said you like that I...
That this is associated with the Virgo astrological sign and how you described it, because just looking at this reminds me of perfectly imperfect. So it's literally a perfect sphere, and it has little dents and dots and dougie-dougies, and it's still extremely beautiful.
Yeah.
And sturdy.
Absolutely. So with that, we're wrapping up, y'all. We ain't got nothing else to talk about. We're going to take a little break. We have another episode to film. So we'll see if that happens. I'm not making any promises, y'all. It's late. It's been a long day. But we appreciate you guys for
hanging. It's half past.
It's half past some things. We appreciate you guys for coming and hanging out with us and talking to us. If you're here, say something. Leave us a comment. Talk to us.
Just tap in.
Right. If you want to follow us on social media, if you don't want to comment on a public, well, social media is public too. Well, yeah. I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say.
Can we get a heart for everybody that's coming in? Like,
Let us know where you're listening. Are you listening?
Besides me in my bedroom in the middle of the night. Like, yeah. What's up? Make yourself known. Hey.
Hey. Hi. Are you on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, what's up? Are we on Pandora yet? I'm supposed to be submitting for Pandora.
Also.
Yes. Talk to me.
I don't know if it wasn't the last episode, but the episode before last, you said that there was a reader or a viewer comment or a question that they had.
Yep.
Ask your mama, whoever you are, simpleton that used to go to high school with us, who's obviously irrelevant. Ask your mammy that and then check back. Don't ever try to play that shit over here. We don't play that.
Let us know.
And thanks for watching Home Sounds Good.
We will see y'all next week. Bye.